and rage, and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little.
Okay, we're up here in just a few seconds.
Roger Sherman, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "Sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history, and no longer remember that the country that they love, the institutions they say that they cherish, and the freedom they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men." America would be spared 1,000 evils if its people would lay the axe to the root of the tree. When we fail to do this, we give permission to the branches, the errors, which only begin to thrust out the truth which it works against. This is the responsibility of the Protestants, and it is the modern-day Protestant that believes what is not taught in the Bible. They practice ordinances that are not based off of scriptural authority. Away with the commandments of men, and down with the traditions that make void the laws of God. Charles Spurgeon.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker, boat rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQers, TV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live in the U.S.-occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warns about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this afternoon. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com and also sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There's two videos at the top of the page. The one on the right side is the show from this morning. So if you missed that, you'd like to catch it, you can do so up until 6 o'clock in the morning. We'll be back with you then. On the right side of the page there. On the left side of the page is where we're at. Click on the play button. Blow it up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon, bottom right-hand corner. Click on that. That'll take you over into the chat on Rumble. We've got quite a bit of friends over there this afternoon. So good to see you guys. And while you guys are there, please subscribe to that channel, Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. And we are also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page over there. DLive.tv at The Sons of Liberty. And then also, we're not streaming on Facebook because I've been blocked. We're streaming over there on Bradley's page, his personal page, but all of my pages are blocked, including our Sons of Liberty media one. But if you'd like to go ahead and subscribe to that page, please do so over on Facebook, and we'll be streaming over there as soon as they release the stream, so to speak. Okay. All right. This morning we were talking about the love of money. And, you know, I touched on wealth and things of this nature. And you know, you don't have to be a rich person to have a problem with loving money. You really don't. There are a lot of people who don't have very much of anything who are very covetous. I hope I didn't impress upon people that only wealthy people have a problem with this. No, a lot of men have a problem with this, with the temptation of to love wealth, to love the things of the world, as John warned us not to do. And so that's going to tie in a little bit with what we're going to talk about today. Now, last week, I think it was on Tuesday. I think that's when it was. I was filling in with Bradley. It might have been on Wednesday. We did it 2 days in a row. And we talked about the emollients clause. Now, that's a clause that's not really talked a lot about. I think about when Wayne Allen Root was saying Donald Trump was the king of Jerusalem, and then you've got Israel wanting to give him this crown, the king of Jerusalem, and all stuff like that. That sounds like a violation of the emoluments clause to me. It's a title of nobility, is it not? Yep, that's exactly what it is. exactly what it is. For those of you who are unfamiliar, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8, so it's an opportunity for us to, if you don't know your founding documents, this is another way we get into one of these that doesn't come up that often. It should in several cases, but it's not. And this is what it says. No title of nobility, that would be King of Jerusalem, shall be granted by the United States, okay? And no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, not the approval of the Attorney General, not because you really want it and you think it's going to make a big deal, but they have to have consent of Congress, accept any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatsoever from any king, prince, or foreign state. Now, again, I can show you the videos where they're offering him all this stuff, King of Jerusalem, all these other things. In fact, it was kind of interesting. One of the things that came up was because the Supreme Court denied to review one of the cases of Donald Trump in 2020 concerning the violation of the Emoluments Clause. They instructed lower courts not to listen to him either because they said, well, the point's moot. Did you know that? That the Supreme Court was supposed to hear that? Yep. And they made it and put it around this way so that all three cases against President Trump at the time, and it was for his dealings with his business, his hotels, and the fact that people were coming in from foreign states, they were putting their people up at his hotel, giving him the money, which some would say would amount to an emollient. I don't know. I don't know how I really feel about it. If people are going to serve in office, you know, I know there's going to be business people who are going to run and this, that, and the other. I understand all that. Probably the best thing to do is to just stay away from anything that looks like it has any impropriety, including letting the guys stay there and explain that to them. They can probably find another hotel, whatever, and you don't bring up all this stuff. You say, why are you stuck on this one right here? Well, this one is right in your face. And after reading some comments from some of these politicians, I'm just sitting here going, what? But again, this is a two-party system, the great evil that John Adams, our second president, warned the people about, lining up under their leaders. That's what we've been given. That is not the American system. It is not a two-party system. That is a system which was said to be a great evil. I can't stress that enough for all my friends who say, well, I just have to hold my nose and vote for the lesser of two evils. No, you don't. You don't have to vote for either one of them. You don't have to give your consent to any of them. They serve at the consent of the governed. And as long as you're going to put evil in office, whether it's a little or a lot, and you knowingly do it, then you're responsible for that. You're going to answer to God for that. Not going to answer to me. You're going to answer to the Lord for it. I know people want to justify the stuff, but I'm just telling you, all of our actions have those consequences, okay? I'm not here to impugn whatever you're thinking or whatever, this, that, and the other. I'm here to point you back to what the law is and then bring this to the forefront. So this is the first thing. We mentioned that there is this $400 plane that's being offered to Donald Trump from the state of Qatar. And Qatar is a known funder of Islamic terrorism. They're known for that. All right? Why would such a place, when you got a guy who's so joined at the hip with Israel, why would they offer him this plane? You have to ask yourself that question and then look at the people who are in office because of him. We're going to look at that when we come back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Hello, friends. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Did you know that George Barna's research group recently found that after surveying pastors from across the country, that less than 10% of them preach out against the issues that they know that they should address? And when we look at the said representatives in the halls of government, well, need I say any more? Are we as a nation ready to take responsibility for righting the wrongs? Join us Friday, March 21st at 6 p.m. at Jack's House Bowl. Hope to see you there.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, we need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Peter Marshall, chaplain of the United States Senate from 1902 to 1949, he said, "The choice before us is plain, Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, it now is, when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government." Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, "In regards to this great book, the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are found portrayed in it."
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. If you guys have tuned in listening for Bradley, Bradley is in California this week with his family. They're doing some recording. You should get some new music, I guess, in the near future. I don't know when that's expected to come out, but that's what they're doing. So I'm filling in for him, and I'll be here all week. Try the veal, right? Okay, so let's talk about some of the people as to what's going on. Now, this is really interesting. If you go over to the House Committee on the Judiciary, you'll see a list of the people here. These are all your quote-unquote Democratic members, all right? These guys right here. And then down here is all of your quote-unquote Republican members, all right? Now, what we find is that this committee sent a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi, and also Donald Trump's counsel, David Warrington. They sent it back on the 15th concerning this issue. And this is what the, and I, look, I, th- it's signed by all the Democratic members. There's no Republicans signing this letter. And I got to tell you, I read the letter. It looks like it's just pointing back to the Constitution. And they're wanting to know, Pam, where do you sidestep the emoluments clause and tell President Trump, hey, it's okay to take that plane? Well, we're going to see here in just a second. You already know about Bondi and Qatar, but there's more, okay? There's a lot more to it. So here's their letter. It's like a 4 or 5 page letter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to read 3 paragraphs here, and I want you to hear it. This is how they start off. "Dear Attorney General Bondi and Mr. Warrington, President Trump is reportedly relying on memos that you authored
at his request to accept a $400 million airplane from the state of Qatar. Described in media reports as a flying palace and the most luxurious private jet in the world, without obtaining or even seeking Congress's consent. Now, you remember, we read that. That is part of the Constitution. That is the law. That they swear to, all of them. Bondi and Trump both swore to uphold that law, as well as these guys who are writing the letter. So, they continue, any legal memo purporting to make such a claim would obviously fly in the face of the text of the Constitution's Foreign Emoluments Clause. Yes, it would. Which explicitly prohibits the president from accepting any present or emollient or of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state. We read that in the first section. Unless he has the consent of Congress. Accordingly, we are writing to request that you provide the Committee on the Judiciary with these memos immediately, as their analysis and conclusions are apparently the basis for the president's decision to disregard the plain text of the Constitution. The Constitution tasks Congress with the enforcement of the Foreign Emoluments Clause, and it is necessary to the execution of our Article I duties to examine the purported legal justification for what appears to be a blatant violation of the Foreign Emoluments Clause. The administration must provide additional information regarding the nature of this gift to aid Congress in carrying out its constitutional obligations. And then this is the final paragraph I'm going to read. President Trump's statements expressing displeasure with delays in the delivery of his new Boeing aircraft to serve as Air Force One and the timing of this gift suggests that President Trump or a member of his administration may have improperly solicited this nice gesture from the Qatari government. And I think that's probably true. And I'm going to show you why in just a second. The fact that, according to President Trump, the plane would not remain in service to the United States, but would rather be donated to his presidential library after his term concludes, further raises the possibility that this nice gesture is intended as a bribe. What? To Donald Trump. Yep. That's exactly what it is. It is a bribe. And again, even this, many of his supporters who are very vocal and out in the media and everything else have said, this is a bribe, leave it alone. But he won't do it. I thought money and stuff like that didn't matter to the MAGA crowd for Trump. I thought that wasn't a big deal. Why doesn't he just turn this down like he turned? Like, you know, he takes his $400,000 and he gives it right back to the beast. He puts it in, the last one, what did he do? He stuck it in Ice Barbie's account, Homeland Security. All of this is to set up, all of these guys are making money across. So when they say in this letter, I want you to think about this. When they say the timing of this gift suggests that President Trump or a member of his administration may have improperly solicited this nice gesture from the Qatari government. Now, I want to throw out just a couple of things that you may not know. Okay? We got a new article up today at sonslibertymedia.com. It's not just AIPAC in Israel, how Qatar has bribed America. And it goes over a long period of time in which almost $100 billion has been spent in Congress, colleges, think tanks, and corporations by the state of Qatar. Did you know that? $100 billion. I'm just baffled here. Why is a foreign entity allowed to do this in our country? Why are they allowed to do it? Why is Israel allowed to lobby our representatives? They do not represent Israel any more than the president does. Why are they allowed to lobby them? I'm beginning to wonder if all this lobbying is actually a good thing. As far as I'm concerned, the only people who ought to be lobbying their representatives are the people themselves. They're the ones who ought to be calling in, sending the emails, going to the offices, or whatever the case may be. Not all kinds of third-party special interest groups. And I realize some of the special interest groups are made up, you know, people like you and me, and they give their money to these organizations and they go out and do it. But half the time, let's take the NRA, for instance. When you go back and you look at their history, man, they're selling out your rights left and right. That's not to say they haven't done some good things, but they're selling out your rights left and right. And a number of organizations are like this. They do not stand for the people. And many of them certainly don't stand for the Constitution. But here's one of the interesting things. Bondi has to answer questions about her involvement with Qatar. Let me see if I can pull this here just a second. And she's got to answer some questions as far as her lobbying of Qatar. That's what she was before. She was a lobbyist for Qatar. The Attorney General was a lobbyist for the biggest funder of Islamic terrorism. Let that sink in for a second. Let it just sink in for a second. That's what she was. That's not all. That's not all. Susan Wiles. She's the big pharma lady, chief of staff. She led lobbying firm Mercury Public Affairs when it represented Qatar's embassy in Washington. Yep. Yep. There it is right there. Mercury announces top Republican political strategist Susie Wiles as co-chair. This is for Mercury. Okay. And Mercury was representing Qatar's embassy in Washington. You getting a little bit of the picture? I'm not done yet. You got that? This is his chief of staff. So you've got his chief of staff leading up a lobbying firm for Qatar. You've got his attorney general lobbying for Qatar. The United States, by the way. And then you have the guy who just came out with Dan Bongino, the guy's heading up the unconstitutional FBI, Kash Patel, and Dan Bongino telling you, we've seen all the evidence, we've seen all the files, Epstein really killed himself. And of course, Bongino seemed a little wimpish about it. Well, I've seen that. He did kill himself. All this. Still haven't given us any information on it. But Kash Patel, you ready for this one? Kash Patel, who heads up the FBI right now, worked as a consultant for Qatar. And he didn't register as a foreign agent. That's the head of your FBI saying he's going to clean up stuff. He's going to get it done. This has big ramifications of the people who are involved, and you need to know about it. All right? SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Have you ever listened to someone speak and have felt completely captivated? Basically, unable to look away and hanging on every word. The kind of speaker whose passion, knowledge drives and stirs something deep within you, making your heart race and your mind question everything you thought you knew. Well, if so, you're in for a wild ride. This show isn't for the faint of heart. It's actually for the bold, the thinkers, the patriots, and the truth seekers who care to face these uncomfortable realities. Welcome to Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean. It's a show that will challenge you, awaken you, and make you see the whole world in a new way. Bradley is a force of nature, uncompromising, fearless. He's ready to rock the boat. It's time to tune in to find out why this program is shaking up the airwaves and sparking conversations everywhere. Don't miss out. Visit bbsradio.com/Sons of Liberty Radio and discover why Bradley Dean is a true boat rocker.
Martin Luther King Jr. rightly stated that I must admit America disappointed in being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? "This nation cannot survive half slave and half free"? Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of an extremist we will be. We will be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? He goes on and says, "History will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people."
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747, and start making a difference in your world today.
PBSRadio.com.
A republic versus a democracy? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. E. Stanley Jones said, "Grace binds you with far stronger cords than the cords of duty or obligation can bind you. Grace is free, but once you once take it, you are bound forever to the giver and bound to catch the spirit of the giver. Grace makes you gracious. The giver makes you give."
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Again, if you're joining and tuned in to listen to Bradley, he is away in California this week. They're doing some music there, so hopefully in the near future you're going to have some new music. I believe it's from Stephanie, but I'm not sure. So that'll be coming out soon, I guess. Okay, I'm Tim Brown. I'm the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and I'm just going to fill in for him this week. So I'll be here all week, including, Lord willing, on Sunday. We're going to have church together. So be looking forward to that as well. Okay, real quickly, I'm just going to show you this. This is the registration of foreign agents for Ballard Partners. Now, this is who Attorney General Pam Bondi was with. And you can see it's here. We're not saying stuff that isn't true. Any of this you can go back and you can find it. This is 2019, Ballard Partners registered representing those of the embassy of the state of Qatar, all right? And you'll also see, if I'm not mistaken, down here, this was the fee, $115,000 per month to represent them, $115,000 a month. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money, all right? That was Pam Bondi. And she is the one who is your, quote-unquote, top lawyer or whatever. Allegedly law enforcement, but I don't buy that. The law enforcement of the Constitution knows nothing about a Department of Justice, nothing about an Attorney General. It knows about the militia. They are the enforcers of the law. That's you and me, fellas. I'm going to say it because it's right there in black and white. Nobody else enforces the law but the militia
under our Constitution, except for the president ensuring that it gets enforced. That's it. But the people are responsible for enforcing the law. We've got it stood completely upside down to where we've got, you know, the state doing it. It's supposed to be the people. You had this, you go in the Old Testament, you'll see it. You'll see the people carried out the meeting of the law. It wasn't just some state head somewhere. It was the people who did it. Oh my goodness. We're so far from where we need to be. It's ridiculous. Anyway, that's that one. Cash Patel, I ended before the break. This is from The Hill. This was reported back in February. He was the pick to lead the FBI. Now he is leading the FBI. And this is what the report says. Patel listed the U.S. Embassy of Qatar as among the clients of his consulting company, Trishul, which he has managed since shortly after Trump left office in 2021. State Democracy Defenders Action said Patel failed to register his consulting work, something they said could violate the Foreign Agents Registration Act. It does violate it. He's supposed to do that. Norm Eisen, the group's founder and former Trump impeachment lawyer, wrote in the letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee, it appears neither Patel nor Trishul is registered under FARA for services provided to Qatar, leaving open the important question of exactly what Patel did for Qatar when he was serving as a national security advisor to President during the 2024 election. If confirmed as the head of the FBI, and he has been, Patel will be responsible for law enforcement. He's not responsible for that. That's not in our Constitution. I know everybody keeps saying it, but it's not in there. And I think this is why we have a lot of problems. I think, don't tell me that this FBI isn't weaponized like the other FBI under the other guy. He's responsible for law enforcement investigations into possible FARA violations. Well, how can he do that if he's violating it, right? Kind of a good question to ask. And he will be expected to carry out this duty faithfully and impartially. And then there's some other things there as well, but it says that the disclosure forms show Patel earned more than $2 million through the consulting firm, though it is unclear how much of that came from Qatar. So you have three people who are leading. You've got the chief of staff, you've got the attorney general, you've got the head of the FBI, who've all been involved in representing Qatar, lobbying for them in one way or another. The largest Islamic terrorist funding state in the world. They're in the Trump administration. They're also big supporters of Israel. And if you want to know how that works, you just have to go back and hear the guy who talked about Islam is the broom of Israel. They'll use the Islamists to come in and sweep out what they need swept out, and then they come in and take it over. That's what they mean. How are some of these guys responding to this? One, you know, I'm not even going to take time with that because we need to get to some other things here. But you've got, you know, people like Rand Paul. He's not his father. He's not his dad. He's not that. But he's right on this. You know, I would hope he would reject this. It's just the appearance of it. You know, the Bible talks about us abstaining from all appearances of evil. Even if we're not doing evil, to abstain from the appearance of looking like you're doing evil. And Rand Paul said, yep, he should just say, no, we shouldn't be doing that. Then you got people like Andy Barr, all right, out of Kentucky. This is what he said. Forget the Constitution, right? This is the art of the deal. President Trump is putting pressure on Boeing to end the delays and finish the Air Force One. This is his statement that he gave to the Herald Leader, Lexington Herald Leader. What's more important for our national security is that the Middle East is shifting from chaos and war under Biden. See, they always play this card. It's not about Biden. This is not about Biden. This is about the Constitution. And this guy, Barr, sits here and he said, what's more important for our national security is that the Middle East is shifting from chaos and war under Biden to a path of peace and prosperity under President Trump. Nonsense. Nonsense. That has nothing to do with the violation of the Emoluments Clause. Here's another one. James Comer. He gave a statement to the Herald Leader, and he said, the proposal to transfer custody of a Qatari plane to the U.S. for official use is not final. The administration has pledged to ensure transparency in any such agreement. I firmly believe Air Force One should be built in America and delivered on time. Yeah. Unlike, I haven't seen those Make America Great hats. I'm wondering if they got a Made in China sticker in the back of those. Any of you guys got one of those? But I know his ties and a lot of other things are made in foreign countries. He said, I support President Trump and his administration's efforts to make American manufacturing great again. What does that have to do with him taking a plane, a $400 million plane, from a foreign entity in violation, without Congress's consent, in violation of the Constitution? It has nothing to do with it. There is a number of these guys. I was trying to think of this one. I think this is the last guy here. Hal Rogers. He represents Kentucky's 5th Congressional District. I'm more concerned with working through the federal budget for 2026. However, President Trump has been very open about the proposed gift to the U.S. Department of Defense and is committed to be transparent about the details. The current plan to replace the aging Air Force One planes is long overdue and expensive. Well, several of these guys want to just let this go. It's, you know, you got to outweigh the good versus the bad. And it was always this stuff of, he's transparent and Joe Biden isn't transparent. No, he's in your face because he's been emboldened to be in your face. He is an adult child who won't obey the Constitution there. And this isn't the only place. It's in several places that we've shown. And he gets upset when somebody says no to him. He's not used to that. But he's being told no by the Constitution. All right? Pretty simple. Additionally, if you see what happens with bribes, and you can read James Madison on this. We read some from Madison, also Alexander Hamilton from the Federalist Papers last time. You can read why they thought this was a bad thing. As Exodus 23:8 says, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. That's exactly what it does. In Deuteronomy 16:19, we read, you shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. The scriptures replete with this. You say, well, what's the big deal? I mean, somebody take a bribe, it's a little thing. He takes a plane, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is the law says you're not supposed to do it. And that law is based on biblical law. That one's clearly based on biblical law, that they're not supposed to do that. Let me give you a couple of biblical instances of bribery, not just the didactic teaching that somehow, you know, this is wrong because God said it was wrong. That should be enough, okay? But where we see it at play, okay? So let me take you over into Matthew. Matthew 26, 27, 28 all recount bribery and specifically around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 is where we'll pick up on the other side of the break. Final segment coming up, we'll hit all of these, and you'll see why bribery is a real problem, okay? And keeping in mind that Trump just signed this deal to sell Qatar all these weapons, that's on the table too. That's the payoff. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic, without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life: books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com and check out our store today.
BBSRadio.com.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Learn more and get your tickets today at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Final segment here. I was reading the chat here, and Mark, you're exactly right. You guys want to read the anti-federalist? You guys have heard me say time and time again, I would have been an anti-federalist. I mean, you just got out from under a big centralized government trying to govern you in another land, and you want to put that back in place? It doesn't make sense to me. And it didn't make sense to a lot of the anti-federalists either. They saw the problems, and they saw this was a big issue as well. The issue of bribery, taking emollients, doing all that kind of stuff. So they saw how they could be used in that. Okay, so let's look at, these are real life issues, okay? And we're going to take it from the Bible, from the scripture as to what got used. Some of you probably have your own stories where you know about bribery, where you know about people being schmoozed. And I'm thinking totally, as I've listened to some of this stuff regarding this whole Diddy trial, that's where all of this is. It's about controlling the people. One of the guys was testifying. He was talking about, this isn't about our music or, you know, our career or something. It's about controlling us. And part of it was demoralization. Part of it was gifting. Part of it was bribes. All this kind of catching you in compromised positions and with compromising people and all that. It's the same thing. Same thing happens there. And by the way, the Diddy stuff is Jeffrey Epstein in the Hollywood scene. That's how they're doing it. They're controlling the politicians, and they're controlling the people in Hollywood and in the music industry and all of entertainment industry. Why? Because they're being used to influence the people. That's why. Okay, so if we go over to Matthew chapter 16, here's what we read, verse 14. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him up to you. He's talking about Jesus. And they covenanted with him
for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. So here we have a real-life instance of bribery. And it comes from the religious community, the chief priest, okay? They get one of Jesus' own who's ready to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Now, I told you this morning, if you were listening this morning, you know what 30 pieces of silver represent? Well, Jeremiah and Isaiah both specify out 30 pieces of silver, which is referenced in the New Testament as a fulfillment of when Judas was selling Jesus out. And the 30 pieces of silver was the price of a gored slave. In other words, a slave who was working, and for whatever reason, an ox gored him, and now he's not able to work the same way he was before, so he can be sold for 30 pieces of silver. That's how much the chief priest thought that the Lord Jesus was worth. In fact, that's how much Judas thought that Jesus was worth. What a sad thing to be so blind, to spend 3.5 years with the Son of God, hearing him teach, seeing him live his life, seeing the miracles, the healings, the raising from the dead, giving sight to the blind, hearing to those who are deaf, opening up the tongue of the mute that they can speak, seeing the kindness that he had towards the people, seeing them as sheep without a shepherd, and going to them and caring for them, binding up their wounds and pointing them towards the way. That's what he was doing. He was watching all that, and he still evaluated the price of Jesus at 30 pieces of silver. Ridiculous is what it is. It's ridiculous. If we move over into Matthew 27, we find that 30 pieces of silver wouldn't clear a conscience, would it? And so, in verse 1 of chapter 27, what happens? When the morning was come, all the chief priests, excuse me just a second. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, some have said, maybe Judas didn't get the full thing. Maybe he thought, I'm going to get the money. Jesus will never know. The disciples will know. And when they go to confront him, Jesus will take him out and he'll set up his kingdom. Maybe he was thinking that. I don't know. We're not told. We're just told that he wanted to get some money for pointing them in the right direction where they could get Jesus. Okay? Anything else is speculation of that. Then Judas, verse 3, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned. See, this is the catch. I don't think he was expecting it. He had seen all this stuff. He knew Jesus had supernatural power. He had to know that. Jesus even imparted that to him along with the others that he sent out to preach the gospel. And of course, they commanded demons to come out and they did miracles and all this. But notice what it says. When he saw that he was condemned, the Bible says, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, well, what's that to us? See thou to that. So all of a sudden he's got a conscience. He brings the money back to him and says, hey guys, this is not what I was thinking it was going to be about. And they're like, too late. We already paid you. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Was that the end of it? Nope. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful for... I mean, can the hypocrisy... It's just incredible. It is not lawful for us... it's not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it's the price of blood. I mean, wow. You paid to pick up a guy, to have him killed. The guy that you paid off grows a conscience, throws the money back at you, and you go, it's not lawful for us to take it. And then when he's out of the picture, you pick it up again. You keep saying, it's not lawful for us to take this money. What are we going to do with it? And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. And it was to fill that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. There's the bribe. Bribing to betray the Son of God, to turn him over to wicked men to have him crucified. That's not all, though. There's more bribes that go on. The next chapter, Matthew 28. Jesus has been in the grave, and we read in verse, 11, that he's been in the grave, he's come out of the grave, Mary's been there to check it out, they went to tell the disciples, and then we pick up in verse 11, and listen to verses 11 through 15. Here's what goes on here. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Now, these people who are of the watch, this is the Roman soldiers. They're coming in. Remember, they had put a band of these guys around a dead guy in a tomb, right? Now they're coming to the chief priests and they're telling them, hey, the stone's rolled away and the guy's not there. This dead guy that we were watching, he's not there. And you know his disciples wasn't going to do it. They were a bunch of scaredy cats. I mean, they scattered everywhere. Right? Now watch what happens. Verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders, these are the leaders there in Israel, and had taken counsel, they gave a large sum of money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. They gave him money to lie about what happened. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. This is still Matthew writing the narrative here. And he's saying, everybody's talked about this. They know it. It's common knowledge that these soldiers were paid off to say that the disciples came and took them, the bunch of scaredy cats. They somehow overpowered these Roman soldiers. And by the way, if they lost somebody they were guarding like that, they could pay for it with their lives. But they're doing this. Yet the people are playing around with somebody who is being bribed. Right in your face. And him and people in his cabinet all have ties to this country that's bribing him and telling him it's okay to do it. When are the people going to bring justice and stop this stuff? It seems like, boy, people are out to lunch. They just don't even understand what's going on, or they don't want to bring justice. They don't want to rock the boat. Sorry, that's not what we do here at Sons of Liberty. We rock the boat, calling men to repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. See you in the morning at 6.